Here this morning, we're glad to see all of these things, and it's a joy to be able to be together. There's a special thing between Christians, and we talked about that in a little bit in class this morning as we think about one another, and I can say with the Apostle Paul, peace and grace, because this is exactly what the Bible offers. I'm going to do something bad this morning. I'm going to call names. A lot of people don't like names to be called, but maybe you won't mind too much when I talk about Satan. I'm going to call his name and talk about him this morning. I want him to feel uncomfortable. I want him to know there are people that hate him as much as we love God, and to recognize that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. He's here among us, and we have to think about these things. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Apostle Paul is very well aware of the devil and his antics, and he said, starting in verse 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the Lord Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The very clear thing here, there's a God of this world. And we need to recognize that that's the case. Think about it this morning, because he's your enemy. He's your enemy, just like he's my enemy. He has plans for you. Brother Ron Halbrook told me something a few years ago that I've mentioned before. We rely on the providence of God. The providence of God is the action of God without miracles that will control the natural world for our benefit. But he also told me that there's such a thing as the providence of Satan, and I believe that. I believe Satan is able to use the natural things of this world against us, and we want to talk about him this morning. Satan, the ruler of this world, he's the god of this world, and you well know, as I do, that the majority of the people of the world serve him gladly. They're involved in slavery. In John 12, verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Well, how is the devil going to be cast out? The next verse says, Jesus said, "And if I be raised, if I be lifted up." So the idea that Satan is going to be defeated by the death of Christ. And we looked at something this morning in class that brought this to mind as we read the Psalms rather this morning, and that was, "He led captivity captive." Jesus said of himself that when he died, "I'm going into the house of the strong man and spoil his goods." And though the devil thought when Jesus died, "I've won, I've won," in effect, he was allowed to believe that because the resurrection came 3 days later. And that's how he led captivity captive. Captivity is the slavery that sin brings to us. And Romans 6 talks about that. And we have been in slavery to Satan. But now then, he's been spoiled. His goods have been spoiled. And Jesus Christ is master over that. In Ephesians 2, he talks about those in which sins you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And it's as though there is a power in the air that just takes people into sin. They see things, they want things, and it's all there if they want it. And I recognize that it's there for all of us if we want it, but we've chosen not to want that, and the Lord is on our side. Well, Satan is the spirit of this world. Ephesians 2 again, "The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." My, he's busy, isn't he? You see this in so many people. You can drive down the street, you'll find people playing golf this morning, you'll find people, a lot of children up there playing soccer or baseball up on the playgrounds, and they don't recognize what's happening. And they're under the grip of Satan, the sons of disobedience. Well, where does Satan successfully work? In the sons of disobedience. It goes from generation to generation to generation. We have, let's say, a boy and a girl who marry. They're Christians. and they serve the Lord. They have some children. And those children choose not to serve the Lord. And that tie is broken. And the end result is, here's a generation that belongs to Satan. And more than likely, as that generation serves Satan, the next generation won't know anything about the Lord. And so generation after generation after generation serves the devil as sons of disobedience. 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. That's so sad. And that gives us our impetus to do good. As we have announced this morning, we have a website. It's noticed in your bulletin this morning. And we're trying to reach out to people. I think there were like 700 people this last week that looked at it. And we're having, as I've mentioned earlier, we've had one from Korea, one from the Philippines, one from India. And so it's not just local. We want to serve the local needs and draw people to the cause of Christ here. But it's going to be something that'll go around the world. Take advantage of it. Tell your friends about it. And let them know that we have something that will give them not only faith in Christ, but their links to things that will help you, like Vine's dictionary of words. If you want to look at the words and get their meaning, you'll be able to have that. And I'm so thankful that Brother Wayne Partain allowed us to put up his Spanish page. So if you know friends that have that know Spanish, be sure to tell them about this, because they can see things on his website that will lead them to Christ. So those are good things. And the whole world is in the evil way, and the point of it is, Matthew 7, 13 and 14 said, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way, and few are they that find it. When you think about the vast majority of the world today is enjoying time off, they're enjoying sleeping in, they're enjoying watching, what is it, March Madness, all the basketball games, and those kinds of things, and God isn't a part of their life. And we recognize that that's our responsibility, to get the word out so they can know that. And so he's also called a dragon, being a god. Satan is worshipped. There are many people who worship. In Houston, I think this last week, there was a Satanist group that put up a sign indicating that we do not let people beat your child. So the idea is, of course, that discipline is beating. And they give that false impression, but a lot of people go along with that, and another generation is taken down. Revelation 13:4 says, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Now, I know this gets into things of symbols in the book of Revelation, but they have meaning. In Revelation 13, the dragon is Satan. And there are two beasts, one from the land that arises and one from the ocean that arises. If I understand correctly, the land beast is abusive government, like the Roman government was abusive in their day. The beast that rose from the sea was the false religions that were true in those days, like emperor worship. And so you have Revelation explaining to us that these things are happening, but you overcome in Christ. That's the meaning of the book of Revelation. So at that time, the worship of the emperor was to burn incense to his image, and this is how they caught Christians. The Christians would not burn incense to emperor worship, and so their test by the government was, burn some incense to the emperor. If you wouldn't do that, you're a traitor, and they would put you to death. They'd throw you in the arena. And that was happening all over over Rome. And he's the author of all these false religions. I hate to say this, but so many people are caught up in denominationalism. And they give allegiance to someone like Martin Luther or others. But Martin Luther was not the real author of Calvinism. It was the devil. And it's caught so many people because Calvinism will tell you today that baptism is not important, that you're saved by faith alone, and once you're saved, you're always saved. Friends, that's a message from the devil. That's not the message from God. And we need to be able to tell people about it. This is something that came from Satan, not the Word of God. And we can prove that by God's Word. And so the companion of evil, the beast that came out of the earth, is allied with the dragon. Both of them were, as we've already stated. Roman commune that promoted worship of emperor and pagan deities. And so you had this abusive government that combined religion together with the second beast. But it also represents every false teacher. And the world is alive with those today, the false teachers. Now, how do you know that I'm not a false teacher? It depends on your knowledge of the Bible. And I know that the brethren who are here know the Bible well enough that if I taught something that wasn't truth, they'd rise up against me, and that's the way that ought to be. Nobody is above the truth. And if anybody teaches error, they need to be called down for it. And so we have this representation of false teachers. We're looking at just a lot of them today. You think about the millions and billions that are caught up in Islam and Catholicism and Calvinism. Watchtower Society, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and sell you a tract for, used to be 10 cents, I don't know what it is now, they say they believe in Christ. But they say that Christ is a created being. He's not God. And that's wrong. Mormonism does the same things. They will talk about Christ and how they love Christ, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and others are like that as well. Sometimes you don't even know that until you begin to read the literature. And I want you to know I've read that literature. I want to be right. I want to be in the wrong and the right religious group. And so I've made it a point in my life that I'm open-minded. And I would be a member of the Islamic faith today if I thought it was right. I surely would. I'd be a Catholic today if I thought it was right. But the Bible doesn't lead me there. The Bible leads me to a member of the Lord's church. And I've read that. I've looked at it. And I'm still open-minded. I want to be a part of the Lord's people. And once I've made that decision, then that's what it's going to be. Satan is also called the angel of this world. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, such are false apostles, transforming themselves. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And so you see things that people call good works. Down in Tampa, Florida, when I was in college, they had a Bush Brewery down there, and you could have tours to go through. So I took a tour, and the guide was talking about what a wonderful thing it was to have the brewery down there because it paid so much taxes, and it made a strong community. But they didn't say a thing about drunk drivers. They didn't say a thing about people killed by drunk drivers. They didn't say anything about children hungry because their daddy spent everything on alcohol. And they gave you this rosy picture of what it was to have a brewery in your community. And you look back in your history and your family's history, I could name 5 of my relatives that were killed by drunk drivers. I had a brother younger than I, who was handicapped all of his life because he was hurt in a wreck by a drunk driver. And that drunk driver was my daddy. So don't come to me with the idea of what good things alcohol does in a community. Too many people have suffered from it. Just open your eyes and look at the reality of it. He has this false imitation of everything. I remember seeing an ad for a whiskey back when they allowed that on television. I guess they still do. It's also brewing beer and wine now. But it had this butler coming out of this mansion. And he had a silver tray on his hand, and there was a glass that had drops of water on it, chilled. Beautiful. Bringing out some liquor to the owner of the mansion, and it gives a false impression. And that's what the devil does. He gives you a false image of what this alcohol can be. And there was an occasion when some people put together a great big billboard. And it had in it a drunk man lying in the gutter, hadn't shaved, he had vomited on himself, and was up on the billboard. And he said, "This is the finished product of the brewer's art." Remember that sign when they put up all these good things, the finished art of the brewer's, the finished product of the brewer's art? And when they put up this sign, the reality of an alcoholic, the beer industry, the alcohol industry put pressure on politicians, they took it down. They don't want to see the reality of what it means. And so the devil has a way of scrubbing things and make them look good. So he has his own Christs. You know, he really does. And his own Bibles. The Book of Mormon, for example, is a book from the devil. And you can't believe people read those things and believe them because they're so gullible. I've told you before about the reporter in New York City who wanted to prove how gullible people are. So he stood on the corner in New York City and took up collections for the widow of the unknown soldier. Do you get it? People gave generously because they're gullible. And so people have these churches and prophets and apostles and ministers and doctrines all over the place. We're narrow-minded. We're bigoted because we believe the Bible. And that's us. We believe the Bible. Well, Satan is the deceiver of this world. Satan takes away the word. In Matthew 13, it talks about how the sower went forth to sow. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. Some people are so near the truth. They're so near the truth, they've got a Bible, but they misunderstand it. Somebody has told them that the Bible is mysterious and you can't be understood. When in reality, Ephesians 3:4, Paul said, when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. And so we have to understand that, and the devil will come, and if you try to live right, you're going to have problems. It's just going to be that way. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. These were the Jewish lawyers who really rejected the knowledge of the Bible. And then here's the teacher of this world. 1 Timothy 4:1-3, how the Spirit expressly, and the word expressly means pointedly, directly. The Spirit pointedly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. See, here's where these false doctrines come from. They're the product of the devil. And people think of them as being something that's godly, but they're really the products of the devil, speaking lies in verse 2, in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know who that reminds me of? These televangelists who proclaim to speak in tongues, who claim to work miracles, and all of them have been proven to be frauds, but their conscience is seared with a dollar. You send me money, and I'll send you blessings, and that sort of thing. And what they're out for is the money, and they've been proven it. I mean, you look at the mansions and the airplanes that some of these televangelists own, and they live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and it's all based upon the gullibility of people who don't understand the truth. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received. Now folks, that speaks of the Catholic Church. Call names. I'm going to do it whether it's polite or not. I don't intend to insult anybody, but the Holy Spirit was guiding Paul to warn that a great falling away from the true church was coming. And it would be characterized by those who would command to abstain from foods, meatless Friday, and forbidding to marry. the priesthood. And so here is an example of exactly of what the Bible was teaching about that. And then he's, did I spell that right? Denier? I may have not spelled that right. It doesn't look right. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. You have to ask the right questions. Don't just be gullible. When somebody claims to teach the Bible, say, give me book, chapter, and verse. If they can't give you book, chapter, and verse, avoid them like the plague. Ask me any Bible question you want to ask, and if I can't give you the answer, I'll find it or I'll give it up. I believe in speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. And only Christians can say that because we're ready to do that very thing. Well, these spirits have bodies. They're the false teachers. Back in the days of the apostles, the Gnostics were the ones who denied that Jesus came in the flesh, that he was not really a fleshly human. Many deny the deity of Christ today in our world. Again, the Jews deny that Jesus is the Christ, and he was their Savior. He was their Messiah. Muslims, Mormons, Watchtowers, they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Satan, the companion of this evil, Revelation 13:11, the second beast. Here's the second beast that came out. He had two horns like a lamb. That is, he was peaceful like religion. That's what it's talking about. The first one was abusive government, like the Roman government, the emperor worship. Now here's the next beast that comes out of the sea, which indicates it's everywhere. And it's the false religions of the world. Matthew 7, Jesus warned about this very thing. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Have you ever heard a false prophet? I tend to repeat myself, but some things are really good illustrations. Brother Leon Odom was a preacher in Odessa. He had a habit of going down to the restaurant early in the morning and have coffee with a bunch of people. One morning he was down there having coffee, and this guy came in and said, I'm a prophet from God, and God told me to go west and to go to a town that when you see it, it'll rise up out of the desert. And that's the way you look at Odessa. It's down in the basin. And Brother Odom said, you know, the Lord told me the same thing. He said, really? The Lord told you about me? He said, yeah, watch out for the false prophet coming from the east. Have you ever seen the false prophet? Sure you have. Have you watched television? You've seen these things. And they come in sheep's clothing. And that's why the second beast that came out of the ocean had horns like a lamb. And so they're sheep's clothing. And again, Acts 20:29, Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Folks, if you want to see an ugly division, look at a church division. It's just about as bad as it gets. Old time friends fall out with one another. Churches split. Why did they split? Because the devil got in. They ruined the unity of the brethren together. And if you see a church split, you're looking at something really ugly. And I've seen that. But on the other hand, what good is it when you see a congregation in fellowship and at peace and serving the Lord? And so we have to make our choice what we're going to do. And Satan, the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Lying wonders. They're not true wonders. Have you heard of the miracle of the Lourdes? That's a place in France. There's supposed to be a fountain over there that will cure you of all kinds of diseases. People go there by the thousands to bathe in that fountain because at one point they said the Virgin Mary appeared to a little girl and told her that this was where miracles were going to occur. It won't happen. People are fooled. They look at that and it's a lying wonder. We have it right here in the United States. We have these preachers that say they can talk in tongues. And these tongues are nothing but gibberish. When you go back to the book of Acts and look in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit really came in a miracle and allowed the apostles to talk in tongues, they were the languages of the people who were gathered there. True languages. That's what it means to speak in tongues. And today somebody gets up and spouts a lot of gibberish. J.D. Tant went to a place one time where they had a healing service going on. And there was a man that got up and talked in gibberish and then fainted. And everybody was saying, "Is there anybody here that can interpret that?" And Brother Tant said, "I can." I said, "Come on up and interpret that." He said, "Well, first I've got to ask all the women to leave because what he said was really filthy." And that man sat up and said, "No, it's not. It's a fake. It's a fake." And but people buy the fake rather than the truth. We need to understand that. Lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, "With all unrighteous deception." That's what it is, deception. "Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Jesus talked about a man that had a demon and he cast the demon out. But the man didn't do anything. And the demon wandered around and found no place. So he gathered more demons with him and came back and inhabited that man with more demons because he didn't do anything to keep the demons out. And that's what people do today. They allow these deceptive things. And when you don't receive the knowledge of the truth, you're susceptible. You're susceptible. If you don't know the truth, you'll buy a bill of goods that's just as wrong as it can be. He's the master of the world. He has many servants. He is a spirit, but he works through servants who are the victims of Satan. And so you see people out here selling drugs. And they tell you, you can be free. Get high. And all that sort of stuff. Peter talked about those people and he said they're already captives themselves. They promise you freedom, but they themselves are captives. And so all these people with drugs, they end up dying. They do things to the body that's not natural. And they're victims of Satan. He has children who are imitators. John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil. The desires of your father you want to do." Was that harsh? Jesus was talking to the Jewish people. And he said, "You're the children of the devil." And they were the ones who crucified him. Because they were children of the devil. And the father of evil. I could go on till midnight on this. We've got a real enemy. He's real. He's real. He's all around you. You know, he can come into this building. He can come into the minds of the people that are here. He can cause you to wish you were somewhere else. If the Cowboys are playing, there are a lot of people that keep looking at their watches. See if the preacher's going overtime because they got to see the Cowboys in action. But if I ask you, who won the Super Bowl in 2003? Would you remember? Now, Becky might. She's got that kind of memory. But you know, most people, you forget it. It's not that important. But people have missed the assembly of the saints because they want to watch that particular Super Bowl. And one of the churches of Christ in Weatherford, at one of the Super Bowl Sundays, brought in a big TV and they watched the game and had worship at halftime. Now, do you think that's putting the devil in his place? You see how people do? Because he's the master and he comes testing people. In 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so there's a few people who put Christ first in their lives. And when they do, they're different. I've got a piece in the bulletin this morning about peculiar people. And it's not a sense of peculiar in the sense of odd, but it's peculiar in the sense that you stand out as different from the world. And wear that like a badge. You're peculiar people. You're here this morning. You could have slept in. You could have gone on vacation. You could have been somewhere this morning playing games. But you came here this morning. And so, we're peculiar people. And he's the God of angels. You know, the last verse of chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews describes angels. And the Lord said that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service on behalf of those who inherit eternal life. So yes, I believe in angels. But this says, he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So he's got servants. I don't know what they do, but I know they have the world in their grasp. And they want you in their grasp. He's the host of this wickedness. He has spiritual host of wickedness. Ephesians 6. And I told us when we were in class and studying Ephesians 6, I don't always understand exactly what this involves. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And I guess I can just say the devil is our enemy. And Ephesians 6 gives us the armor to prepare against the devil. And once you have that armor, then you can whip the devil. He can't attack you the way he does the world who doesn't have that armor. And the lust master of the world, they're not any demon-possessed people now. I mean, I know they act that way, but they're really not. In the New Testament, unclean spirits tormented people, but they did not make them sin. Man still has free will. Satan does not enter into people to make them sin except when they grant permission. And that's what people are doing. Let's go out and party tonight. What's happening at spring break when people are down on the coast in Florida and down in different places and they seeing how much they can drink? Asa's here. He's not there. He sees the difference in that kind of life because he's been taught the difference. And so you see these things in the world and it's a marvel. I mean, here I am wanting so badly to go to heaven. Why doesn't everybody want that? Do you want to go to hell with the devil and his angels? You know, I wouldn't want to be with Adolf Hitler in this life, much less spend eternity with him. How do you think you're going to get along with Jezebel? You ladies, you know, you don't name your children Jezebel, do you? Because she's got such a reputation for evil. Well, how about inviting Jezebel into your home? No, you wouldn't do that. But if you let the devil lure you into wickedness, you might as well be Jezebel. James 1:14, each one is tempted by when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. And that describes the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had free will, and she was enticed because the fruit looked good, and it would taste good, and it pleased the eye, and she reached out for it willingly. The devil didn't make her do it. He just put something attractive in her sight. And it's still possible today to do the same thing that Adam and Eve did. When you see something attractive, it looks good, looks like you'd enjoy it, pleasant to the eyes, let's go for it. And that's what the world's doing. But now then, we've made a choice not to do that. He is the betrayer of Christ, John 13:27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered into him, talking about Judas. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Satan entered into him with permission. And that's what people are doing today. Acts 5, verse 3, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back part of the price of the land for yourself." He was greedy, and he let the devil enter his heart. The Bible still talks about greed, covetousness, being an idol, idolatry. People can still lose their soul over covetousness when they want material things. Clear illustrations of James 1:14, "We're drawn away by our own lust." And then he's the snare of the gullible. He has so many captives. "Teach them that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Tell people about the devil. You'll seem odd. Many psychiatrists and a group of psychiatrists said that when people today talk about the devil being real, you need psychiatric help. So after services, I want to take up a collection. I want to go see a psychiatrist because I believe the devil's real. He's real. And he's after you and he's after me. Snare means to be under the control of another, whether relative, friend, priest, pastor, evangelist, my preacher, many religious prisoners. And I know that's not true of you brethren here. You're independent of me. You have your own Bibles. You search for the truth. And you know what to do, whether I told you that or not. I'm going to close with this. Tonight I want to look at some of the names of Satan. And just be sure that we understand. I don't talk about him often. I don't like him. I don't respect him. But I recognize he has power over people. And so we'll do all that we can to inform people about the evilness, pure evilness of Satan. He'll never change. He's already condemned and he knows it. He knows he's going to the fiery pit. But folks, he wants you to go with him. And you can say no. So if you're here this morning and not a child of God, you're missing the best that life has to offer. Be a Christian. As Jesus himself said, "Believe and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ." Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15-16, the Great Commission. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That way he destroys the power of the devil in your life. You need to respond to the gospel of Christ this morning. We ask you to come now while we stand together and sing the invitation song.